Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Group Chat. I am Drama, founder of Young and Reckless, TV personality,
yeah,
and a host of the Short Story Long podcast. And this is
T Murthy, co-founder of 5-4. Drama Beats is business partner in Young and Reckless.
Had to add the Beats, didn't you?
Sometime investor. When we're successful, we mention it. And a lot of other cool things.
Heck yeah. This week we have a good episode. We're talking Oscars.
Yes.
We're talking bad news for broke influencers.
Ouch.
And also great news for really, really rich influencers.
Rich.
Of course, we're going to have to dabble in some guns, a little bit of Trump, and a little bit of all pop culture. We're covering Beyonce.
Yes.
We're covering Johnny Walker changing their logo.
Yeah.
We're a little all over the map today, but it's a good day for news.
Great.
Let's forget, if you like the show, give us one of these. That's a like button. Subscribe. Tell a friend. Phone a friend. Leave a comment. Ask a question. Tell us what you think.
And if you don't like it, you do the thumbs down.
No. If you don't like it, just give us one of these and then exit. Thanks. Okay, let's get right into it.
Okay.
First is Oscars. We're over the weekend.
Yes. Did you watch?
I sure did. But as per usual on award shows, they are a snooze fest.
Yeah.
I hate award shows.
I think I realize what the problem is with award shows. Obviously, the format's too long. It's long, it's boring, and whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you need to pick movies that people actually watched. Like, what is Shape of Water?
True.
Are you ever going to go watch Shape of Water?
Never, but let me say one thing.
Yeah.
You don't watch movies.
No, I do watch movies.
What movies? You watch Get Hard.
I watch Get Hard.
You watch Ride Along.
I watch Bad Moms. I watch okay. Office Christmas Party.
I get it, but right now we're in a time when the deep movie, Lady Bird, did you watch Lady Bird?
It's about the struggle
of being a young lady in this country.
No, I'm not familiar.
Well, just saying. That's who's winning.
Okay.
So, yes.
Get Out at least got people excited because everyone on the red carpet, they're asking all the young people, what are you excited to win? And everyone said Get Out because that's the only movie anyone saw.
True. That's true.
They're just like, get out. Yeah. They're just like, because they know.
Yeah.
Like, no one else saw anything.
The fact that Shape of Water beat Get Out in the final, the big award, really bums me out. They had a chance, right?
Yeah.
There was one movie about being gay.
Yeah.
Call Me By Your Name. One movie about race issues, Get Out. One about being a young lady in this country, women's rights.
Yeah.
They chose a woman falling in love with a sea beast.
Yes. Someone said it's a woman falling in love with alien.
It's like an alien sea creature. I don't know what meaning it's supposed to have, but it looks stupid.
It looks ridiculous.
It's annoying. You had all these chances to like, man, this is a great year for
and
this.
And that's why like the ratings are record low.
They are?
It takes a full couple days to get the thing, but it's 3 million, guaranteed 3 million less viewers than last year's already. And they're saying it could be on the verge of an all-time low in like modern rating times.
3 million down from what?
Last year.
Are they in like the 20 million range or what are they at?
I mean, the overnight rating was 18.9, a 16% drop from last year's awards. Last year's, which was 22.4, ultimately fetched 32.9 million viewers.
Yep.
They're saying it's probably a few million less than that. And 2008 was considered an all-time low, and that had 31.8 total viewers, and they're thinking it's going to end up being lower than that. So, I mean, between like, obviously, people that don't want to hear the political stuff.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, if you're a conservative person, you don't want to hear getting
checked
bashed.
Out. Liberal snowflakes.
Yeah, so you're checked out of that.
Yeah.
So that instantly cuts a lot of people out of it. They said they're celebrating diversity, so if you don't like diversity...
it's a big part of our country.
Then that's checked out.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just those types of things. I think the movies... Personally, it's slow.
It's slow. It's like, why is Jimmy Kimmel tossing to another person doing an intro to toss to a montage about like, stop.
I did
man.
Like when they went into it up that, a little. Movie theater. I thought that was very entertaining.
Loved it. And I loved the jet ski thing.
Yes.
Fastest guy jet ski. And then when Jordan Peele got on stage and he said, be quiet, guys, you're going to mess up my jet ski.
Yeah.
And like he had the most meaningful award.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was cool. So there was definitely some things that were cool. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a great job, and I'm not even really a big Jimmy Kimmel fan.
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job.
But you just got to millennial that thing up a little. Cut the speed in half.
Yeah, I mean, if you knock that out in 90 minutes, you know, the performers, just get them going. The montages, keep to a minimum. I did like the montage of just, like, speaking about diversity and gender diversity and all those things. And the guy from Big Sick, Kumail, said, he goes, my favorite movies are from straight white dudes that have created incredible things. Yeah. He's like, now it's time for a straight white dude to like what I... Yeah. He's like, I can relate. Why can't you relate?
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it meant well. It was interesting, but like, I don't think it was just engaging enough for a 3.5. By the way, I was about an hour behind, and I added the 30-minute extension.
Yep.
I missed Best Picture. Even with the 30-minute extension.
It went that over?
Yes. And so I didn't even see I just know who won, but like, I didn't even get to see the moment when the poor guy wins for Best Picture.
Yeah.
But
well,
I think
lucky
the best...
for you, it was Shape of Water. So.
Yeah. I still think the best part about the Oscars, I do enjoy seeing everyone dressed up. I think that's cool. And I like the party. Like, I like watching the post-party things.
Yeah.
And especially like living where I live in West Hollywood. Vanity Fair is down the street. Elton John's party's down the street. So I hear all the music.
Yeah, there was a Jay-Z big Chateau Marmont. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jay-Z, Beyonce hosted like 200 people at Chateau, which I heard is nuts. Guy Osiri does his party at his house, which is all A-list. So, I mean, the party part of it is awesome, especially when the young dudes or the young girls are walking around with their Oscars and they're in and out and just like partying it up.
Yeah.
And just seeing Vanity Fair party, like just the celebs walking in, is just cool. Because it just seems like that's what Hollywood seems to me. Super fancy, cool. Yep. Like it's like the one night of the year that it just kind of puts a spotlight on that whole culture, which I think is still like...
Yeah.
Like I posted on Instagram story, like there was two presenters. I had no idea who they were.
Uh-huh. I saw that. You're like, are these contest winners?
I'm literally like, I turn on the Oscars, I can go on YouTube to watch those types of people anytime. I don't know who they are still.
Yeah. They're from Baby Driver.
Okay, yeah.
Stars of Baby Driver.
I never even heard of that.
Yeah, it wasn't that great of a movie, but it did well.
But then, I want to see Chadwick Boseman, Margot Robbie. Yeah. I want to see, like, real Tom Hanks. Like, I want to see real stars.
Agreed.
And so I'd rather see a short, quick version of superstars.
Yeah.
Because those are not accessible people.
Yeah, yeah.
The relatable folks, be on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, like I want to see superstars.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to see Will Smith.
Slim it down.
Yeah,
go shorter. Go half the length, twice the star power. Where's Will Smith? He's been killing it on the vlogs lately. Get him out there.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my only complaint. I think that some of these award shows are not completely irrelevant. I don't think the Oscars are irrelevant. I just think
they are irrelevant when they pick movies. That, like, there's people in the Academy that, oh, I didn't even see Get Out. It's not the type of movie we want to give awards to.
Yeah.
When you say stuff like that, like, it turns people out.
Yeah.
That's what people wanted. That's what they went and watched. They showed it in the box office numbers. That's what they want to see.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see Shape of Water. They could win Grammys, Golden Globes, everything. I refuse to watch Shape of Water.
Me too. Me too.
You probably
usually
watch
I'd say
it.
Chill, but I me too.
Out of just pure principle, I won't watch it.
I'm going to be honest. I tried to watch Lady Bird the other night, and that feels weird even saying out loud.
Yeah.
But I turned it off. People love it.
Yeah. I thought Lady Bird was about Lyndon Johnson's wife.
Not at all.
Isn't she not even a little Lady bit. Bird?
Maybe. Maybe. It's about, like, literally, like, here's the struggle that a girl goes through. Like, she has a bad relationship with her mom. She has her first boyfriend. All these different things.
Yeah.
I get it. It's important.
Yeah.
For not me.
Yeah.
For other people.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying it doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Moving on. YouTube, what was that article from?
So Bloomberg posted pretty much they did their own study of what influencers are potentially collecting on YouTube.
Which this is bad news for us at Group Chat.
Yeah, I mean, we're screwed if this information is true because you're not making a dime.
Nope.
So what they said was if you're a top 3% YouTube viewer on YouTube, you're...
Like YouTube star.
YouTube star, top 3% in terms of views. Your income is $16,000 a year on average from YouTube ad revenue.
Okay.
Pretty much you're in poverty.
But it's all brand deals, right?
So yeah, they don't obviously touch on that in terms of like what they do, but they said that the average of this top three is someone that collects about 1.4 million views a month, which we clearly don't. So we're not even at poverty level with that And federal poverty level, by the way, is 12,000. And then the YouTube guy, girl, is making 16,800 a year.
So it's not looking good for us over here.
Yeah. So it just shows that it's definitely brand deal driven.
Yeah.
You can't make it just off ad revenue. It's just not significant yet.
Yep.
I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
And even if they underestimated it and say it's double.
Yeah.
Because the article starts off with like the guy talking about a family member that like wants to like quit, drop out of college and become a YouTuber full time.
And it was saying like, if your kids want to be a YouTube star, tell them to stop.
Stop now.
Yeah.
And the thing is I think where I think you have to draw the line is, it's still a powerful platform for influence.
Yeah.
But the direct source of income isn't there yet.
Yeah.
So I meet YouTubers all the time that they have a regular job. They do this at night.
That's so true.
You could still do it.
Yeah.
But don't make that your only source of income, or figure out how to do brand deals, or figure out how to launch a business, mm-hmm. which is like recently, there's a lot of those happening that have been extremely successful.
Yeah.
So I think the power is still there, but like the advertising revenue from YouTube is kind of a joke.
Yeah, it was interesting because Casey Neistat put out a video, because he's very big on like
defending
the creators, and yeah. And he defends the people, and he had a meeting with the president of whatever, the whatever,
yeah.
chief creative guy from yeah. YouTube maybe. Okay. And
what did he say?
His battle is for creators. So he was saying that ads like that are very, they just sort of put down people who want to start and want to create. And yes, it is hard, and it is getting harder because they're implementing all these things. Like yeah. they started a thing where like you can't even turn on ads unless you have over 10,000 followers or something like that in a certain amount of time or yeah. a certain number of hours of views. And they keep making it harder and harder to yeah. kind of get over that point.
We haven't gotten a check, so I'm assuming that hasn't happened for us.
Still have to get over the threshold. Yeah. So we're, yeah. But so he was just fighting and saying, look, it's a place for creators. Don't let this make you stop creating. You know, yeah. just create, figure out how you can be different, and sort of the money will come. That's also coming from a guy who just cashed a $25 million check.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to yeah. say everything's going to be fine. But on the good side, you said that there are two, Emily Skye and Huda,
yeah.
are two influencer blogger types that are just cashing in the
yeah,
dough.
Yeah, so Emily Skye, another really interesting article. I think it might be on Bloomberg as well.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not. It's on another thing. We'll post the article. But it's she got a pretty significant minority investment from a private equity firm called Quadrant.
Does it say the amount?
It won't say the amount, but these people, I mean, they just don't write like $2 million checks.
Yeah.
It's probably much larger than that.
Yeah. And what is she? She has a fitness line?
Yeah, so she kind of became popular on social media because of her fitness kind of exercise plan.
Okay.
And then she turned it into a subscription. And so it says 200,000 subscribers pay her anywhere from $48 to $120 a month.
Jesus.
For content.
For content? That's yes. not for product?
No, content. That's oh. big money.
So she got invested in for content.
Yes. Because she has real revenue. 200,000 paying subscribers? That's and that's where you see where the influence really is. Because
yeah.
if you do create good content, you will make money.
Yeah.
And that's where I agree with what Casey Neistat is saying. And then Huda, who's a huge, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing her name, she's a very large beauty blogger in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I only know of her because I have friends who worked with her. And so I pay attention to what she's doing. And I randomly had dinner with a friend of mine from TSG, who's a very large consumer private equity, mm-hmm. probably one of the best in the world. And they made an investment in her. And I know they don't write small checks.
Yeah.
Like, they write large checks.
What does she talk about?
She's just a beauty blogger.
Yeah, so they're...
They created a cosmetics line that's apparently doing extremely well in the Middle East.
Yep.
And now they're bringing it to America. And
so they're investing in product.
That's a pure product yeah. play.
That's what's interesting. It's like, I'm sure that with the investment, these people are planning with Emily Skye to make product and to yeah. do all this different stuff.
Yeah.
But like investing in someone who is...
a content creator.
Yeah.
And even Michelle Phan, who did Ipsy, who's extremely successful in the beauty business. She came from YouTube. So my guess is, from the numbers I hear, she's going to be a YouTube billionaire at some point.
Yeah.
Because the cosmetics business she has is just completely on fire, because she has literally zero customer acquisition costs because it came through her content.
Yeah.
So it's clear that if you do the content right, there are opportunities. But I think that first and foremost, you better resonate with an audience, make incredible content, and then the opportunities will start coming.
I would argue then that that article about YouTube and a life of poverty is kind of stupid. Don't you think it's a very, very niche argument and one, like, just you chose one area? And I think all these YouTube stars know that the money is not in YouTube, in ad revenue, right?
But the problem is to get to this point, you're talking about Huda has, like, let me tell you how many followers she has on Instagram. Yeah. Just to give, to put things into perspective, because people don't realize how popular these people are.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, I get you. I just think that, like, it sounds like a bit of an old, bitter stance to write an article from and say, if your kids are thinking about a life,
24 million Instagram followers,
not bad. It's a good start.
I mean, that's bigger than pretty much everyone that was on the Oscars yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. I'm just saying, to say, hey, tell your kids to stop is kind of stupid, because I think that if I had, I hate to say it, but if I had a kid today who was like, hey, I'm a dad, I want to be a YouTuber, I'd be like, you know what, man, give it your all. We'll feature you on group chat. Because I just think, like, it is, these sort of things are proof that this is the future, you know? And, like, I don't know. I just think it's a little wrong to write an article like that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the key is just shedding, you got to shed a light on what these new wave economies are really generating. And the onus should really be on YouTube. Maybe you're not paying enough royalties to all these creators, because you have 1.5 billion unique visitors or something like that a month YouTube has.
Yeah.
And they clearly are monetizing them. Maybe they need to take care of these types of people. Because that brings me to the other article I was sharing with you, which is the Uber and Lyft survey that someone at MIT did.
Yeah.
And it showed that after all expenses, and this is obviously fuel, insurance, maintenance, repairs, and depreciation, the average Uber and Lyft driver is earning $3.37 before taxes.
An hour.
Yeah. When I look at that, if I'm an Uber and Lyft driver, I would go become a YouTube creator.
Exactly. Exactly. Way worse.
And by the way, the liability of driving people around all day is so high.
And it just sounds like a nightmare gig.
Yeah.
You know, just like talking. I mean, I don't know. I've been with some Uber drivers who love to talk to people, but like, and people are all in your car. Like, you can't even take into account the expense of just having dirty people in your car.
Yeah.
And that one girl who puked.
Yeah, I mean, I puked in a Lyft.
That guy who's way too old to be puking in Uber. You know, like, you're not even taking that into consideration, the damage on your soul. But what do they do now? So they obviously have so much work to do.
I mean, Uber and Lyft are refuting that it's actually not this, but they didn't release a counter study saying this is how much they actually earn.
Yeah.
But MIT has nothing to gain or lose from doing this survey. They're just an educational institution providing information for people to make on their own.
Yep.
And it just, they say past studies have shown higher profits for Uber drivers. Cool. So let's just say it's double.
Still. It needs to be below minimum wage. Five times.
You're better off working, like, in and out, I think, pays like $15 an hour. Yeah. Better off going there.
Yeah.
And you don't got to be driving all over town.
Oh, that's rough. Well, I'll say this. If you're an Uber driver, at least think of a cool content idea while you're in the car. And try to be a YouTube star, too.
Yeah. You know? Vlog
like
your
what's the new version of Cash Cab or whatever? Yeah. Do that.
Then I think you have a shot. Then you have to get, like, a release from every single person, right?
Yeah, but not when you're... No. You just got to go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a little bit of a bummer. Once again, we like to go up and down over here at Group Chat. Yeah. Let's give it an up, especially for us and for our friends and family here. Yeah. Amazon bought Ring.
Yes.
For $1
billion? Yeah, I think a little over a billion.
$1 billion. And Queensbridge Partners was in on it.
Big money, big win.
So for those of you who don't know, Queensbridge Partners is...
An investment fund we started 5 years ago, a group of friends, mainly being Nas, who's kind of the face of the brand, and then his manager, my brother, and all of our close friends. We all invested in this fund together, and we've done a lot of incredible investments. You know, we're early in incredible companies like Casper and Robinhood and Lyft, and Dropbox is going to go public soon, and, you know, we've had some exits, but this is our biggest.
Yeah.
This, we invested when the valuation of the business was $14 million.
Yeah.
So do the math. There's obviously dilution. You don't get exactly pro rata because we didn't invest in all the rounds after. Yep. But it's obviously a big win for the fund and a big win for kind of showing that we were on track. I am not taking credit for any of the decision to invest on it.
Nope.
I'll give that to everyone else in the fund, my brother, Anthony.
Yeah, thank God. I just sent a check-in.
Yeah, exactly.
I just said, sure.
Yeah, why not? I don't know anything to do with it, so I'm not. I'm just taking credit because...
But take the credit. In your intro, you said, I'm an investor sometimes when I win. So yeah. This week...
You're an investor. I'm a big investor today.
Yes.
And so if you're interested in investments, don't bother me. Find my brother's name on Instagram and bother him.
At Anand Murthy. There it is. Hit him in the DM.
But it's awesome to see like a win like that because that's a big, big exit. Ring is a, you know, now if you hear about what they want to do, they want Amazon is buying Ring because Ring, so many of their customers already have Ring.
Yeah.
And the whole goal is now so that Amazon can get inside your house.
Amazon.
Which I'm not down with.
They're already inside of our brains.
Yeah.
We just don't know it.
They're going to, so the camera will now allow their people, so you, the packages stolen gets reduced heavily.
Was it Amazon who wanted to do the, like, leave your key for the delivery person? Remember that?
Yeah, I think it was Amazon, too.
They're literally going to be in your house. They're just going to be like, hey, Amazon, we're here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. But am I wrong in thinking that what they're able to do is sort of see what businesses are growing really fast on their platform and then say, hey, we'll take that one?
Yeah, and well, the thing is, at least they bought, you know, they started looking into making this themselves.
Yeah.
And so I think my concern is, I don't have a problem if they keep buying the businesses, then at least there's this entrepreneurial spirit, hey, if you get traction on Amazon, they'll maybe buy you.
Yeah.
What I hate is, oh, like we don't sell our brands because if they start seeing that certain styles are going to sell, they're just going to go steal make it themselves and make it cheaper because they're direct and they're Amazon. So I don't know. At least they bought the business. They paid them. I really enjoyed this one because Shark Tank passed on it.
You wrote about that. I got some love.
Yeah.
That's cool. They went on Shark Tank and pitched it and got denied.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What the coolest part about it is that, you know, people have very polarizing views of Shark Tank. Yep. Is it entertainment? Are there real businesses coming out? You know, we're friends with Damon John, and he's shared with us some of the business successes. They're like real businesses coming out of Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And this just showed, this guy's first option is he went to Shark Tank. He may not have gotten the money, but that just shows the pipeline of Shark Tank is actually real.
Yeah.
Like real entrepreneurs, real businesses. So I thought that was really exciting that it actually went through Shark Tank first, and then he went the traditional venture capital.
It's even cooler that they failed because it's showing that the losses on Shark Tank turn out to be real businesses sometimes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, I really like that connection they had with each other.
Big win for Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to go quickly, just quick dive into the sort of Trumpy swamp, you know? I think that to start positive, let's say that... Dick's Sporting Goods came out and said that they are going to raise the age to buy assault rifles to 21.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
It's a small win. I mean, you're still like, why are you selling them?
Yeah.
But like, at this point, I think every small
kind of victory... It's cool to finally see changes. I mean, these sort of things have always happened.
Yeah.
And there's always been a little bit of an uprising and nothing has ever happened. So to see people pulling their NRA deals, to see Dick's Sporting Goods, and to be honest, Dick's Sporting Goods would be the last person that I would expect, because I've just assumed, wrong on me, that they were pretty Trumpy and like just sort of anything goes and NRA and guns. But they're not.
And the other interesting thing I saw, like people actually went and just showed that like if you actually do make these changes, now of course there's going to be backlash, but there was a lot of support. Like I follow Julia Louis-Dreyfus on Instagram, obviously because of Seinfeld. And she posted, I just bought my Nikes at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
That's a huge endorsement from a huge celebrity for free because you did something positive.
Yeah,
that's
true.
So, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of people who didn't agree with what they did. But, like, why does someone under 21 need to have any guns, have any assault rifles?
But why does a 22-year-old need to be walking around with an assault rifle? But anyway, whatever. We don't want to go down that.
Did you, on that same topic, do you watch Bill Maher? Real time?
Yes, but I haven't.
Watch the last Friday's episode.
I saw it got a lot of love.
To two kids from Parkland. Damn, even Bill Maher was like, I really didn't have any faith in you guys, your generation, but you guys, I mean, they are not messing around. And they're super aggressive.
How are they so good? It's like those kids were ready for a tragedy.
And
like, up there it was. We've been practicing for this.
And the kids' fathers, one was a, or one is a police officer. The other one is a former FBI officer. And they are so aggressive and so reckless in the way they talk.
Yeah.
It's the only way they're going to get any voice
to get
across to people. So I thought that was super interesting, and it kind of echoes what people, I think these retailers and these businesses are realizing. If they don't change, their next generation of customers are not going to shop with them.
Yep.
And that's the real scare. Forget the current generation. You can't change them.
Yep.
Let's get the next generation.
That's true.
And that kid even says, he goes, "We're going to clean up all the mess your generation has been making for years." I was like, whoa. It's pretty powerful.
They're good. They really, I don't know how they prepared or like, but they're making, I mean, those, it feels like, maybe I'm wrong, it feels like those like 3 or 5 kids are making such an impact.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
And they're holding their own. They're doing those CNN town halls and they're doing, I mean, imagine what their like press schedule looks like.
They're
calling out,
they called out Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. They put President Trump, saying he's a clown. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
That's how Donald Trump got elected.
Sure.
By not caring what everyone else thinks.
Yeah.
These kids are 17. What are you going to do?
You got to be aggressive.
Yep. I appreciate it.
Okay. Also, there's some new Trump tariffs that got a lot of news.
Yeah, I mean, the stock market tanked as soon as he announced this because it has such a big impact on all like American manufacturing businesses.
Yep.
So he wants to put a 25% tariff, which is an import tax, on foreign steel, and then 10% on all foreign aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
This is like very debilitating to an economy that's still very reliant on foreign output.
Yep.
The thing is if American steel and aluminum was at performing at like a very efficient level, which it may or may not be, I don't know that information, but they're still reliant on steel from China and India and different places of the earth. So that affects the auto industry, construction, all these different manufacturing industries.
Yeah.
So when you do that, you're essentially, in the shorter term, causing the increase of goods domestically, which is not good for business in America. Because I'm guessing it's going to take time for American steel plants to up their output to compete with how much they're buying foreign. I get what he's trying to do. I think it's going to backfire. Even Paul Ryan's aide today came out and said, hold up, we don't totally agree with this. This is not core economic agenda. So I think it's a little off. And so I'm just like doubting all of his reasoning for doing anything after I watched that Netflix.
That thing is gnarly. So Dirty Money, the series on Netflix.
Yeah.
There's an episode on Trump.
Yeah.
And I almost didn't watch it. I was watching the other ones and I'm like, oh, I know all of this.
Yeah.
Like, I know, blah, blah, whatever. You're going to just go again on all the Trump stuff. Man, it was good. And man, if it's even like, if it's even 50% accurate, he is just he's just a marketing guy.
I mean, especially, I thought it was super sad what that Trump University did to people.
Yeah.
I mean, they just wiped people out, took their money.
But never in life have I seen anyone be invincible.
Yeah.
He's done all of these things, and
he went to the presidency. Yeah.
It defies every rule of how to live your life that I have ever known.
Yeah.
And I believe it won't ever happen again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anything to be learned here.
No.
You couldn't go copy it.
No, it was just fascinating. Like, he just did whatever he wanted, it goes back to the reason why I think it was super interesting, just from a non-political perspective, was this guy has controlled his narrative his whole life.
Yep.
He was failing in the 80s. But he kept telling everyone he's successful. And like even all the celebrities and people they had in the interview, affiliated being a success with Donald Trump. He knew as long as I stay in the public eye, I will be considered successful. Despite going bankrupt in Atlantic City, half his buildings, you know, like when you realize even the construction, the head of construction for his company, she was in the film. She goes, he's not one of the biggest developers in New York. He's not even one of them by a long shot. He's only developed 5 buildings in New York.
What blows my mind is this, especially coming from a passive reality TV.
Yeah.
When they did the Apprentice set, they purposely made it so obnoxious and so ridiculous, thinking that nobody would believe it. They said the office was crappy.
Yeah. Like the wood was chipping off.
Yeah, it's like it just looked like a crappy old office. Yeah. They built all of that, and they made him look like that, and it worked. And yeah. people really, like, people didn't watch it and think, like, oh, this is, like, I get it. Like, this sort of obnoxious thing. They were like, oh, that's his life. Yeah. That's his office. This is who he is. And it really, like, re-sparked his whole thing.
And I like the thing. And the problem is the people that voted for him aren't going to watch it. But all the people that were involved in that documentary or spoke, that was the person that did his autobiography, the yep. person that used to be the president of his casino business. These are people that worked with him
yeah.
and said, this is a bad person.
Yeah.
And so...
So, yeah.
It just...
Let me say this. If you don't like Trump, of course, go watch it. Netflix, yeah. Dirty Money, Trump episode. If you voted for him and maybe you're secretly a little on the fence and you're like, hey, maybe that was a bad decision, go watch Dirty Money, Netflix, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And if then you're a racist Nazi Trump lover, nothing we can do for you.
Yeah, I mean, the foreign connections are Kazakhstan,
sketchy.
Uzbekistan. Like, why are there all these weird Trump towers in these weird countries?
But they were talking about the type of people he's doing deals with. Oh, they're just criminals. The shadiest characters.
Yeah, criminals.
I liked it. I thought it was good. Okay, yeah. One more negative thing, and then we'll move right along.
Okay.
There was a suicide
yeah.
outside of the White House.
Yeah.
And that was on Saturday.
Yeah.
And what was interesting to me is I got the little news notification on my phone. It said, shots fired outside of the White House. Then it said, person shot himself and died.
Yeah.
But then I didn't really hear much about it.
Yeah, so I was Googling it this weekend. Finally, yesterday, they released the name, 26-year-old kid.
It was white kid, what was he?
They're not releasing a picture, but it sounds like a white kid from Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Went to University of Auburn.
Okay.
He's 26 years old. I don't know. There's not a lot of information about it. It's just a bizarre way to kill yourself. You must have some... deeper message that you want to share.
Yeah,
that it's just because when Secret Service is involved, you never hear about it, right? Because they serve us secretly, yeah. so you don't hear what's yeah. actually going on.
Yeah,
I bet you there's something extremely interesting going on with why a 26-year-old young kid, college graduate, went to the White House and killed himself. And
do you expect there to be a lot of?
I bet you we never hear about this ever again. Like, you just don't... That's, like, one of those things you just don't hear. It's like a Vegas suicide.
Oh,
you don't
hear about it. That's crazy.
But to me, it was, like, pretty scary to think someone went and did that. Like, why would you go and do that there? Like, what was your motive? What message were you trying to send?
Well, we know one of... I mean, it's one of three.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
One
of
two.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something powerful and, like, we'll never, unfortunately, know. Because I'm sure he had a deeper message, but didn't think through the concept of... Secret Service and this and like it's obviously sad that someone killed themselves
yeah.
To begin with.
But it's crazy. Don't you think news networks and stuff would go talk to his family? Like,
sure. I just think a Secret Service gets involved, they're at the family's house. They're just not going to let information yeah. just.
That sucks. Okay, let's go back to the light.
Yeah.
Oh man, we're just jumping right back into. All right, all that's over, and Beyonce and Jay-Z are going on tour again.
On the run tour.
Dude, did they just announce that?
Yeah, literally this morning, I got the notification from like Live Nation that, hey, do you want to buy your On the Run tour ticket?
This summer.
Yeah.
Got it. Great.
Which
I'm a
is
fan.
We loved the first one.
Loved it.
Yeah, I think we got a Sprinter van, and we all went, right?
Yep, we'll be right there. With you.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, Beyonce is vegan.
Yeah, she has this business she invested in. It's called 22 Days Vegan. I think it's her chef or something.
Okay.
So she posted the other day, she's like, I'm going vegan up until Coachella to get ready. That got me thinking, it's time to get in shape for Coachella as well.
I'm already 2 weeks ahead of you.
You're 2 weeks ahead. I know, yep. You're pumping iron.
Yep. Just wait. Wait till you see me out there in Indio by the pool. What's your Coachella prep? So first of all, let me just remind, because a couple friends hit me up on our last Coachella episode
yeah.
and said, thank you so much for the reminder.
Yeah.
So everyone out there, if you're planning on heading out to Coachella, now's the time. Maybe go vegan. Maybe try some SoulCycle.
Yeah.
Maybe lift some weights. I don't know, but it'll all pay off when you have those hot Coachella picks.
Yeah, you got to have those hot picks.
What's your plan? What's your prep?
I'm definitely going to chill on drinking. So instead of 7 nights a week,
yeah. 5.
I could do 25% reduction and I would be at 5.
Yep.
I think definitely it's just about carbs really, right?
Like yeah.
for me.
So you don't do any you're running anyway.
I'm running. I'd like to have some, you know, guns to.
What do you do about that?
I have those dumbbells in the office. Yeah. I gotta come up with a program, an office weight program.
Fair.
Other than that, I'm good.
That's what I asked. I asked my trainer this morning to make me an office hotel room workout.
Yeah.
That's 10 minutes long with no weights.
Because at least you're skinny. All you have to do is gain weight.
You just got to eat constantly.
Yeah.
I have to eat 3,200 calories a day.
I would die to eat 3,200 calories a day.
Fair. It's all about perspective.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, if I eat 3,200, I already have a fat face. You add 3,200 calories a day, I'm like 500 pounds.
Ah, well, we have different devils. You know what I mean? I'm trying to just eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches anytime I have a spare moment.
You should put Doritos in them. That's what I do.
Might as well. I'll do it for you. Good. The D sandwich. Beyonce is vegan. We'll call it vegan.
Yeah.
Until Coachella. And then last but not least.
Yeah.
Let's end on a real, I want to be sensitive. I think it's stupid. Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
Is making a limited edition logo.
Yep.
Where their character is female.
Yeah. Jane Walker.
I don't like it. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. Because I want to be careful here.
Okay.
I don't like it because, A, doing a limited edition female logo like a Supreme drop feels like you're simply capitalizing off the
100%.
Moment.
You're just exploiting the moment.
Like, what are you doing?
They're donating like a dollar per bottle, whatever. Sick. Make it a big dollar. You know what? Why don't you reveal your employee gender and show us how much... diversity there is in your company.
Yeah, and show us the difference in income. Once that's all lined up, and we're all good,
and
we'll
then
take the logo.
Show me your CEO, your CMO, your CFO, and show that that's diverse. Don't capitalize on a moment, and you haven't backed it up.
And limited edition.
Yeah.
Like even, what was the award show? Oh, the Moon Man is no longer called the Moon Man, right? It's the Moon Person.
Okay.
For MTV.
Okay.
Like, that's permanent. So if you want to make some sort of like gender neutral logo, sick, forever, cool, good for you. Yeah. But like an exclusive limited release female logo.
I mean, I guess it served their purpose because there are some women that said, I drink whiskey. I'm going to go drink because of that.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah. I just think that's just insane. Yeah. I don't know.
I agree. I think it's
stupid.
Anything else?
Roy Moore is broke, which I really enjoyed that.
That's on a positive note.
A really positive note.
Yep.
This is the true test of karma.
How'd you find that out?
It's all over news. So Roy Moore, who ran for Senator of Alabama, that we obviously talked about when he got defeated, this on Friday comes out and says, my funds are depleted. I'm having a hard time playing for bills. Luckily, God is in my side and things will work out. Let me tell you, God ain't paying your bills, homie. You are going to go broke and karma got you. Being a pedophile, being a piece of crap for your entire life, caught up to you. This is how your legacy is going to end. Peace.
What a great ending.
Yeah.
Karma wins again. Don't be a pedophile.
Yeah. Never.
Lesson learned on today's episode of Group Chat.
If you take away anything...
Okay, we did it. Thank you, guys. As always, comment below. Let us know what you think. Let us know your questions. Subscribe. Give us one of these. Tell a friend. And we'll see you next week. Group Chat.